If you would, to Acts chapter 11, that's where we are tonight. Acts chapter 11. If you've been following along with us in Acts 11, down in verse 26, Saul and Barnabas have been teaching and equipping the church in Antioch of Syria, which was a major city, population of 500,000 people. That made it the third largest city in the entire Roman Empire. And verse 26 says, after Barnabas found Saul, he had to go looking for him. When he found him, he brought him unto Antioch. It came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. I think the idea of them staying there a whole year, you've got two great Bible teachers, you've got Barnabas and you've got Saul, and training, teaching, equipping the church was vitally important then, because, you know, these people are coming out of heathenism. So they really need to get established in the Word of God, in biblical, a sound biblical theology, but not just that, a biblical morality. So the theology is extremely important, but also important is that these people coming out of heathenism learn to live moral, godly, separated lives. So I still think today, personally, that teaching is one of the greatest needs in the American church. But so many Christians have some goofy ideas about a whole lot of things and patchwork theology. You know, their theology is like a patchwork quilt. You know what a patchwork quilt is. You get a little color here, a little bit patch here, different items. Well, that's the way their theology is. They get a little piece from one guy on TV, a little bit from a pastor, another from a book they read, and something from something their grandpa told them. And anyway, the church in America needs to go back to teaching the scriptures. So then we looked at verses 27 through 30. Verse 27, and in those days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. Prophets. First time we see prophets in the New Testament. First time in the book of Acts that they show up in the church. So this is an important passage. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. A great dearth, which means a famine, a drought. This would be a time of hunger. And then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren that dwelt in Judea, which also they did. And they sent it to the elders in the church in Jerusalem by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So this is the first time we see prophets. It won't be the last time. They'll show up again in Acts chapter 13, prophets and teachers. And then we'll see Agabus. He'll show up about 10 years after that, 10 to 12 years after that, he'll show up in Acts chapter 21, where he would again prophesy a future event. Here he's prophesying a famine to come, obviously a famine that's going to affect the whole Roman Empire, but because they took up a collection specifically for Judea, the prophecy also obviously mentioned that Judea would be the hardest hit, would have the greatest need. So that's why they took up a collection for that. Luke was also very careful to mention that it came to pass, that prophecy came to pass, just as he predicted. And then in Acts chapter 21, we'll get there eventually, Agabus got word of Paul determining to go to Jerusalem, and he took Paul's belt, wrapped his hands all up with it, and said, and bound himself with it, and said, "Thus shall the man be bound." You know, Paul be bound if when he goes to Jerusalem. This is what's going to happen. He'll be bound up and turned over to the Gentiles. And Paul said, "Well, whether they bind me up or kill me, I'm going," because that's what the Lord wanted him to do. But that came to pass also. So there were prophets in the New Testament. There were legitimate prophets in the New Testament. It's important that we remember that, because last week I talked a lot about false prophets, and I'm not done, because the Bible warns so much, so many warnings in Scripture about the false ones. And you know, the only reason the Bible warns us about false prophets the way he does, Jesus does, "Beware of false prophets, they'll come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves." The reason he warns us about false prophets is because there are also true prophets. You see, you don't counterfeit what doesn't exist. It's a reason why if you are a cashier or a clerk in a store, nobody tries to buy anything with a $13 bill, or nobody gives you a $9 bill, or nobody gives you a $7 bill. They don't counterfeit those, because there is no genuine like that. They only counterfeit something that there's a genuine. So the same thing is true with prophets and apostles. The Bible talks about false apostles and, of course, false prophets. But if there were no true prophets, then obviously there would be no counterfeits. I do have a few other things I thought I would talk about today regarding prophets, true and false, because, you know, we want to realize that the ministry of the prophet is set in the church. In fact, I'm going to have you keep your finger here, but look with me over to the book of Ephesians and chapter 4. We'll read a couple of verses over here. I want us to see that the ministry of a true prophet and apostle does exist, and I do believe it is for today. It's sad that my experience with so-called prophets has largely been the kind of people that I would consider flaky and not legitimate. Are there legitimate prophets? There has to be. Legitimate apostles as well. They're not the same as the biblical Old Testament prophets, and any apostles today would not be the same as the apostles in the New Testament. And why is that? Because they're not writing Scripture, for one thing. Nobody's writing Scripture. They better not be. Well, it's a shame, but nowadays the prophetic movement has swept across the charismatic world. Yes, ma'am. Let's get a microphone for Miss Kathy.
I'm glad that this came up tonight, because one of my coworkers told me she's gone to a class called School of the Spirit, where they teach, and I tried to Google it because I didn't understand. I've been hearing about it, where they teach them how to prophesy and everything. You've heard of this, right?
I may not have heard of that particular one, but I do know that that's very popular in charismatic circles, the whole idea of teaching people to prophesy. There's this idea that, I guess I'm going to have to mention the difference between the office of a prophet and the gift of prophecy, because they are two different things. The office of a prophet would be like Agabus. He's going to be our prime example of the office of a New Testament prophet. Now, we don't have any insight into the teaching and preaching of Agabus, but the Bible speaks of him positively, and so it would, we would believe that his message would be on point, just as his prophecies were on point, that he was a legitimate prophet, and that here we go, Acts 21, 10 to 12 years later, he's still prophesying and still 100% accurate. So here's our example of a legitimate prophet. Prophets don't just prophesy future events. They do foretell the future. That's a part. It's not the major part of their ministry. The major part of their ministry is foretelling. That is forthtelling, preaching the word, calling people to repentance, calling them back to the Bible, calling them away from idolatry. That's calling them to holiness and separation, and that's what prophets do. And then there is that predictive element in the prophetic ministry. Whereas the gift of prophecy, okay, we'll come back to Ephesians 4 in a minute, but the gift of prophecy, I'll have you turn with me over to 1 Corinthians 14. We may look at a couple of passages here because we should probably bring some of these things out tonight, just so we don't confuse everyone. 1 Corinthians 14. 1 Corinthians 14. This chapter, Paul deals with the subject of spiritual gifts, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And he brings out some important things about prophecy and speaking in tongues and so on. He tells the church in Corinth, beginning in verse 1, follow after charity. Charity is the word for love. And desire spiritual gifts. Now notice, he tells them to desire spiritual gifts. We should desire spiritual gifts in our midst and their operation in our own lives. Desire them and prefer rather that you may prophesy. And then he's going to give us some comparisons here. For he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men but unto God. For no man understands him, howbeit in the spirit he speaks mysteries. But he that prophesies speaks unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself, but he that prophesies edifies the church. I want you all to speak with tongues, but prefer that you prophesied, because it's more beneficial to the church. The whole church gets edified. But he that speaks with tongues, unless it's interpreted, then that becomes the equivalent of prophecy. So I tell you, I could speak on these verses just this tonight, so I'm going to try not to do that. But let's point out that there is a gift of tongues. We're going to have to go to 1 Corinthians 12. But we'll wait. We'll go there in a minute. In 1 Corinthians 14, he's talking about speaking in tongues, which is not unto men. Those who speak in an unknown tongue, verse 2, y'all with me? Yeah. This is not unto men. You're not speaking to any human being on earth when you speak in tongues. Now, this is what we call praying in tongues. It's not the same as the gift of tongues, which we'll look at in a little while in 1 Corinthians 12. There's a difference between the gift of prophecy and the office of a prophet, and there's a difference between the gift of tongues and praying in tongues. There's a difference. If a person ministers in the gift of tongues, sometimes Brother Bob ministers in the gift of tongues. That's when he speaks for the whole church to hear, and it's to be interpreted. And if he doesn't have the interpretation, pray that you would have the interpretation. And sometimes there are others who might give a message, a short message in tongues. And always, you always want to pray that the Lord gives you the interpretation, because otherwise it's meaningless to us. But notice it also says in verse 2, when you speak in these unknown tongues, you're not speaking to anyone except for God. You're speaking to God. He speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no one understands him. In the spirit, he's speaking mysteries. He's connecting with God in a spiritual sense when one prays in the spirit. It is a spiritual blessing, benefit, empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And then he talks about the gift of prophecy. He that prophesies speaks to men. Now that's the difference. Tongues, you're speaking to God. Prophecy, you speak to men. Because prophecy is in a language everybody understands. Prophecy is for these three purposes, the gift of prophecy. It's to edify. Y'all with me in verse 3? It's for edification. It's for edification means to build up, to strengthen, to edify. It's for exhortation. Exhortation is to propel us forward, to encourage us to have confidence, you know, in the Lord. And for comfort. This is the standard for biblical gift of prophecy. Edify, exhort, comfort. That's what it should do. The simple gift of prophecy, we hear it in the church on a regular basis. It edifies, it exhorts, it comforts. It does not rebuke the church. It does not correct the church. That's not what the gift of prophecy is for. Edify, exhort, comfort. A prophet's ministry might rebuke the church. He might. Might want to correct something, you know, the biblical prophet. I said last week that I don't know any prophets, and I really don't. That don't mean they don't exist. My circle of people that I know in ministry is rather small, to be honest. But I do know a man that I believe was a prophet in our lifetime. I believe David Wilkerson was a prophet. The man prophesied. If you ever get a chance to pick up his book, The Vision, that he wrote many, many years ago, the stuff he prophesied in there, it came to pass, just like he said. If you ever hear a prophet speak, I believe you know it. There's something about their message. There's something about the spirit in them that not only resonates, it penetrates and convicts. And I remember years ago, I went to a pastor's conference in Dallas, Texas, and I met Steve Hill there. And one of the speakers was David Wilkerson. And one of the other speakers was Leonard Ravenhill. Yeah. So when David Wilkerson got up to speak, and it must have been, I don't know, 500 pastors there. Yeah. We were all sitting at tables, and he got up and started speaking. I tell you what, before he was done, I wanted to hide under that table because the message was just so powerful and so convicting. It had us all crying. And then later that day, Leonard Ravenhill got up to speak. And Leonard was old at the time. I mean, he walked up there very frail. If you've ever read any of the books by Leonard Ravenhill, if not, you need to. He got up to speak. And I believe he was a prophet in his own right. He had a prophetic message. I believe there are people who have prophetic messages who may not be foretelling future events. You know, in that sense, I think A.W. Tozer had a prophetic message, as did Leonard Ravenhill, as did a number of others. I think Keith Green had a prophetic message. But anyway, when that feeble man had to be in his, I think, probably late 80s at the time. When he got up to speak, the more he spoke, the stronger his voice became. And before long, he was pounding the pulpit, and he was preaching, and he wanted to make us hide under our seats too. But that's the office of a prophet. That's not the gift of prophecy. Don't mean they can't prophesy. They do prophesy. But I don't know if I confused you or if I helped you. The gift of tongues in 1 Corinthians 12. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to talk about the gifts just very quickly. I had no intention of going here tonight. 1 Corinthians 12, Paul is writing to the church. He says, now concerning spiritual gifts, I want to clear up the air about spiritual gifts. I do not want you to be ignorant about this. He said, he goes on and he says, you were Gentiles, that, you know, you were heathen. He's talking about you were pagans. You were in a world of idolatry, carried away unto these dumb idols. But therefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and that no man can say Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. And then he talks about a diversity. There's different kinds of gifts, but it's the same Holy Spirit. There are differences of administrations. This is ministrations where we get our word deacon from. Many different kinds of servants in the body of Christ. But it's the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations but it's the same God that works all in all. And the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man for the profit of the whole. Then he talks about 9 different gifts of the Holy Spirit. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse different kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all of these, it's the one and self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will, or parceling to each and every person a gift as God chooses, as God desires. So you've got 9 different spiritual gifts here. The gift of tongues is mentioned here. Not everybody has the gift of tongues. Not everybody is anointed to stand up and give a message in tongues. Mostly what we hear in the church is people praying in tongues, which is not out of order. I've had people want to take us to task for that. They'll say, well, you have people who are speaking in tongues and nobody's interpreting it. Well, they're praying. That's not unto men. That's not intended for men. That's prayer. That's unto God. We can pray in tongues. Paul said, I'll sing with the Spirit, and I'll sing with the understanding. I'll pray with the Spirit. I'll pray with the understanding. We can pray in tongues. You can pray in tongues if you have the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Spirit is working, you know, through you, I believe, as he would like to, you can pray in the Spirit anytime you want to. You can't manifest the gifts of the Spirit anytime you want to. Like, I can't say, okay, I'm going to prophesy right now. I can't do that. I could pretend, but the gifts come with the anointing of God. But so a gift of prophecy, a gift of tongues, as in like Brother Bob gives occasionally, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. These are important spiritual gifts that I would really, I guess I ought to get off and talk about that tonight, but maybe, I don't think I will. But a word of knowledge is a person who has a little bit of information they can't know any other way except God told them. And it might be about another something going on. Yes, ma'am.
So you can't take a class to pay for gifts of the Spirit, right?
Oh, yeah. That's how I got off on all of this. Yeah. I guess you could take a class to learn about the gifts of the Spirit, but to learn how to prophesy. See, that's a problem.
Well, no, people are paying thinking they're going to get this gift if they pay.
Ministries that do that, that started, well, I can't say it started, but it's popularized by Bethel up in California, because they have their big classes where they teach people to prophesy. And they tell you, just step out and prophesy. Just, you know, you're going to get it wrong, but you have to practice. It's practice makes perfect. You know, you're going to. You know, there's also a difference in the Old Testament and the New. In the Old Testament, I'm talking about with the prophet. The prophet in the Old Testament, they were desperately needed. Not that we don't need them in the New, but they were desperately needed. Because they brought guidance, they brought direction, they brought correction. The population did not have the indwelling Holy Spirit. You, a New Testament believer, born again, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, who Jesus said would guide you. He would guide you into all truth. So we have the guidance of the Holy Spirit. A prophet's message today, if they gave a message, you have the Holy Spirit to discern, and you have the Bible to test, to examine. You can be a Berean, Acts chapter 17. They were more noble than the Thessalonians because they searched the Scriptures to see whether those things were so when Paul preached. And the Bible called them noble. That they were doing a good thing because they checked it out with the Word of God. There's too much prophecy it's false, it goes unfulfilled. I'm talking about in the world right now, in the charismatic world. I'll be honest with you, the charismatic world is chaos. All of this prophetic movement, I think, has brought people into great error. The majority of the prophetic movement is involved with the kingdom now theology, that we have to build the kingdom of Christ on earth before Jesus can come. Most of them have abandoned a belief in a rapture. I believe they have embraced error. Are they heretics? I can't say that they're heretics, but I believe that you could label a whole lot of them false prophets. What do you call a person who prophesies 100 things and only 2 of them are accurate? What if only 1 of them is false? Because the Bible standard is 100% accuracy. And the Bible standard for doctrine, they need to be accurate on doctrine too, on biblical doctrine, not just... Yes, ma'am. I may have confused you more than I helped, but yes, ma'am. Let's get a microphone to Ms. Faye.
It was explained to me one time about prophets, you know, and that it's like someone with a camera. He could take a picture of Brother Billy, and he could say, okay, this is what I see about you. And it's something that you could, I mean, he had as much control over the prophecy as, you know, in other words, like with somebody who just speaks. In other words, it's like it's a gift that he had, and he was able to just take a picture of someone and just prophesy to them that way. I never did quite get all of that from way back when, and I can't remember who it was, what his name was, but he had prophesied to a bunch of people.
Yeah,
you know, just
see, I don't like that either.
But I mean, it's like, okay, a prophet does have he has that gift, right? It's
a prophet? Yeah, but you don't see them doing that in the Bible. They didn't do that. And I call these modern prophets who prophesy to everybody, I call that horoscope prophecy.
Brother Rusty,
go ahead.
I don't know about all the other prophecies that he gave, though. But the prophecy that he gave to Faye and I came to pass. and it came to pass here.
Oh.
It said that our ministry would be one of helps, that we would that we would help a man of God to in his ministry. I believe that's you.
Praise God. Look, I've had somebody prophesy to me that prophesied to a lot of people, and what they told me was right. I'd never seen this person before in my life. They said, I can see that you're pastoring a church on the eastern side of the city. At the time, I was a young pastor on the east side of the city, over there in St. Bernard, the far southeast. And that the Lord was going to bless us there. Well, he did. He blessed us there. But I don't remember anything else, but that's what they said. You know, I don't know if you ever read your horoscope. It's our cult, so don't do it. But there is a psychological bias that people have. They actually gave it a name. They call it the Barnum effect. It's named after P.T. Barnum. P.T. Barnum, the great showman, whose famous quote was, "There's a sucker born every minute." That's the quote he's known for. There's a sucker born every minute. And, you know, another of his famous quotes, you can fool all of the people some of the time, some of the people all of the time, but you can't fool all of the people all of the time. Well, he was known for fooling as many people as possible. The Barnum effect is basically this, and they apply it. Psychiatrists apply it to horoscopes. And when I read about that, I said, that's just like a lot of this modern prophecy. Because what the Barnum effect is, they take a generalization, something that's going to be true for just about everybody. And people have this, it's a psychological bias. They want to believe that it really is for them. And so when you read or the tarot card reader or the palm reader or the crystal ball reader or the tea leaf reader or the prophet says, I can see that something's really been troubling you lately. How did he know? How did he know? That's so true. How did they know that? Because something's troubling everybody. That's why. or the one that says, I can tell that someone you love is sick or frail or weak. Whoa. How did they know? How did they know that? Well, let's see. 6,000 churches, hospitals in the United States. 3 million nurses in the United States, 1 million doctors in the United States. Hospitals are full. Try to get a doctor's appointment. You got to wait for months. So maybe it's a pretty good guess that somebody you know is sick. So basically, it's the Barnum effect. And I see these so-called prophets who line everybody up and they give them a word that it's so general it could apply to anybody, but people will apply it to their own selves. I can see that the Lord wants to use you, brother. Really? He wants to use everybody. That's true. The Lord wants to use me. Yeah, now, William Branham, he was an odd duck. There's a lot of people who think he was a false prophet because he got into very serious doctrinal error towards the end of his life. But he would prophesy to people. I mean, he could tell them things about themselves. There is no way in the world. I mean, his prophecies were very, very specific. He would tell them, you're sick. You have this particular disease. Your doctor's name is such and such. And look, the Lord's going to heal you, and they pray for him. People be healed. There were tremendous healings. Yeah, a couple of unbelievers decided that they were going to trick him. So one of them came up for prayer, and Branham was going down the line praying for people to be healed, and he laid his hands on this guy, and he said, "There's nothing wrong with you. You're fine." He goes on to the next one. And the guy says, wait, I'm sick. And so Branham stopped. He went back to him, laid his hand on him again. He said, "No, you're not." He said, "You're fine." And he went to pass, go on again. And the guy said, "You're a false prophet because I'm sick. I have cancer. And you're a false prophet." So Branham came back and he said, "What's this I see? I see you and those two other fellas over there sitting in a room planning to come here conspiring against the Holy Spirit, to mock the Holy Spirit." And he said, "So the cancer you said you have, you have." And he went on down the line. And my understanding is that fella did wind up having cancer. I believe he was a true prophet. There was too many things I've read about him that were just so profound. And I don't know how many of you remember Gordon Lindsay. From years ago, Gordon Lindsay was the guy that did Christ for the Nations in Dallas, Texas. He established that school there. He traveled for years with William Branham, and he wrote down many of the miracles that occurred under William Branham's ministry and the tremendous revelation, word of knowledge that he had. So Gordon Lindsay was a genuine article. He was the real deal. He founded Christ for the Nations, which it still exists to this day, was a ministry that trained people for mission field and for Christian pastoral service. Gordon Lindsay died many years ago, but if you can find any of his books, they're also very good. Gordon Lindsay, he wrote books on healing, gifts of the Holy Spirit, and he wrote a book about all about William Branham's life and ministry after having traveled with him for years. So it's definitely worth reading. I doubt if you'll be able to find it unless you do a good search online for used books and happen to find it somewhere. I can't remember the name of the book he wrote about William Branham. I used to have it, but a wicked witch took it away from me, named Katrina. You see, y'all got me all over the place tonight. I don't even know where I'm at. Yes, ma'am.
One of my relatives got saved years ago, and they started, well, we think she was saved. She started telling family members that God showed her things that they had done in their past. Oh. And a lot of the stuff was true. Now, that's a familiar spirit, is it? Is that what it's called?
I don't believe it was the Holy Spirit.
No, it wasn't, but it really scared a lot of people because she said, "You know, I know what you did when you were 15 years old or something," and it was a true thing.
Hmm.
And
that's
really
a counterfeit gift, just like there's real word of knowledge. Uh-huh. There's a counterfeit too.
Yeah,
demonic counterfeit.
A lot of fear.
Was the person she was telling that to, you know, about her past, was she a believer? Was she
no.
a Christian? Because you know, if you're a Christian, under the blood, yeah. sins erased.
Right.
Doesn't mean the devil don't remember what he had you up to, but you're under the blood and forgiven. Yeah, that would be very sobering.
And they thought that we were all crazy.
Yes, ma'am. Miss Karen.
About this one and that one, and she knows what
There's a lot of flim-flam in most of those circles. There really is. Yeah. I've heard of some things that Christian ministers did that was somewhat similar to that. But y'all, I don't know if y'all remember the fellow named Peter Popoff some years ago. He would have big healing crusades, and when people came in, they had people standing in the front of the building and would have them fill out a card. What is your need? And you put it on this card because, you know, we're going to pray about all of this. And then they would send a little signal to Popov and they'd say, the lady in the green dress. They would send a little radio signal to a transmitter in his ear and say, the lady in the green dress, she's sitting in the fourth row. She has a tumor on her left leg or something, you know, whatever it is. And so he would then call it out like it was a word of knowledge. So some people went in there with some receivers, and they picked up the transmissions that was going from the front to the back because they suspected he was a phony baloney, and they busted him. And it exposed the falsehood of his ministry. You know, that's pretty pathetic when you stoop to things like that. Agabus wasn't like that. Agabus was a legitimate prophet. They're all legitimate prophets. And they're all legitimate apostles, I believe. Let me give you a few distinguishing marks of a legitimate prophet. Just a couple of things. First, they will be accurate in their prophecies. If they're going to predict something, it's going to come to pass. Absolute accuracy, 100% accuracy is required. You know, I was thinking about this tonight. To be a policeman, every now and then, you have to go to the shooting range and you have to fire your weapon. And you know what you're required to do? Hit the target. You have to hit the target. Now, I don't know I don't know if you have to hit the bullseye all the time, but you definitely got to hit the target or you get disqualified. But a prophet don't have to hit the target? You think they can just shoot wild and, a legitimate prophet will hit the target. If they say something's going to happen, it'll happen. But again, I want to mention this. Foretelling the future is a minor part of a prophet's ministry. That ministry mostly is preaching the word of God, calling people back to God. That's what prophets did. Call them back to God, call them to repentance, call them to faith, calling to them. To serve the Lord. So, alignment with Bible doctrine. Number two, number one, accuracy in prophetic predictions. Number two, alignment. They're in perfect alignment with sound Bible doctrine. So, you know, they're not going to be preaching things that are contrary to Scripture. If they are, they're false. Number three, they will exalt Jesus Christ and not themselves. Too many self-promoters boasting on themselves and manipulating people for money.
Jesus gave him a high five.
Yeah. Isn't it amazing how many of these so-called prophets claim that they've gone to heaven, been with Jesus, angels come and appear to them all the time. I mean, they have more revelations than the Apostle Paul. A true prophetic word, while I'm cautious about people with given prophetic words, there is such a thing. You know, they are legitimate prophetic words that God can give somebody to encourage, edify, or exhort. That's what they're for. But they're never manipulative. And they don't give revelation. They might give confirmation, but never revelation. Let me give you, for instance. Sometimes people might say, you know, the Lord showed me, I've always given me a word for you. Mm-hmm. That can be a good word of comfort, exhortation, edification. No problem, legit. But if they're giving you direction, then that direction should be a confirmation of what the Lord has already told you or shown you. It should only confirm. It is not. It should not be a revelation. For instance, I know a brother. He's a pastor today. Good brother. In a service, this lady who claimed she had a word for him, she said, the Lord wants you to go to Jamaica. I think I might have told you all about this before. The Lord wants you to go to Jamaica. He's going to open up a great door for you to have a ministry there. You need to go. Now, to him, that was a revelation because the Lord didn't tell him that. He didn't know that. I'm supposed to go to Jamaica. But this lady, she's a prophetess, and she gave me a word. So you know what he did? He packed up, and he moved to Jamaica. And then he said it was the 6 worst months of his life because he was somewhere where God never sent him, had no intention for him to be. And he wasn't there long before he realized, this ain't God. God didn't send me here. That woman sent me here. I mean, she prophesied out of her own heart, her own mind, her own spirit. She knew he was zealous to serve the Lord. She knew he was zealous. He was ready to go. And who knows what people think about, the word Jamaica's coming to my mind. So God wants you obviously to go to Jamaica. Maybe it's because she just ate a pineapple. Who knows where she got her revelation, but it certainly wasn't God. So a word like that should not give you revelation. It should only give you confirmation of something the Lord's already told you. I had a brother tell me one time before I had started any ministry whatsoever, I was preaching at the church occasionally that I was attending, and he said, the Lord's called you into the ministry. But that was a confirmation. The Lord already told me that. Yeah. And I had told my wife that, but she was the only person on earth who knew. But anyway, where was I? Oh, I was talking about, yeah, I'm all over the place tonight. I don't even know where I'm at. Okay, here we are. They're going to exalt Jesus Christ and not themselves. They will have moral and ethical integrity, which means they would have a lifestyle that matches their ministry. If they're a legitimate prophet, they're not going to be living like the world. Also, you know, a legitimate prophet is usually not very popular. They stand in opposition to the world, the tides of the world, the fads of the world, the culture. They stand against the current culture, and therefore they would be unpopular and probably unwelcome in a lot of Christian circles. Also, I do believe a legitimate prophet, like John the Baptist, was a prophet of preparation, you know, the Lord's coming, prepare for the coming of the Lord, prepare ye the way. That's what a legitimate prophet would do also. They would be telling people, you need to get together, get your life in line, the Lord's coming, prepare ye the way of the Lord. And then the last thing I want to mention is that they will not fear the Bereans. Acts chapter 17. Somebody turn there and read that passage. I want you to read it to us. We'll get you a microphone where you can read Acts chapter 17. Verses 10 to 12. Who wants to read for us? Acts 17, 10 to 12. Let's let Alexander Scorby read it over. Acts 17, verses 10 to 12.
And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who, coming thither, went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few.
Amen. The idea here is that false prophets do not want to ever be challenged. They don't want their words scrutinized or their messages scrutinized. They would get really upset if somebody started examining what they taught. But a true prophet will not fear the Bereans. The Bereans are people who say, we're going to check you out with the Bible, buddy. We're going to check it out. You may be a true prophet, but we're going to check it out with the Bible and find out. And, yes, sir.
Just a little bit of trivia. They weren't reading from the New Testament because the New Testament hadn't been written yet. So Paul and the others were preaching from the Old Testament. So, oh, that's the Word of God too.
Oh, absolutely. 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 So, let me just wind up tonight. Yeah. The word prophet occurs 30 times in the book of Acts. 25 times it refers to the Old Testament prophets. Only 5 times does it refer to, actually I think it's only 4 times it refers to the New Testament prophets. So the New Testament prophets are different from the Old Testament prophets. Old Testament prophets, they gave us the Word of God. You know, we got Jeremiah, we got Isaiah, we got Ezekiel, we got Daniel, we got all the 12 of the minor prophets, we've got Moses, we've got David. They gave us the Word of God. Modern prophets do not give us Scripture. So, but what they preach better line up with the Scripture. They do not bring new revelation. Prophets do not bring new revelation. Absolutely not. They emphasize the Word of the Lord. And by the way, everything is supposed to be discerned. If somebody says they're a prophet and they seem to have the marks of a prophet, you still have to discern. You have the Holy Spirit, you have to turn on your discernment, no matter who it is that's speaking. Even if Brother Rusty's speaking, you turn on your discernment. You always discern by the Word of God. And if something doesn't sit right with you, if you have a question, you can ask. I don't run from questions. I'm open. I'm happy to discuss our differences and show you where you're wrong. You know, maybe it'd be the other way around, but because I'm not infallible. My wife reminds me of that all the time. also, this is important too. I remember years ago when we were in Araby, we had the little church in Araby, and we had a guy who came in, and you would think he walked in right out the Old Testament. I mean, he had on the robe and a staff, like a shepherd's staff, and he came in, and I greeted him, you know, welcomed him. We had a small congregation, and he says that he was a prophet and that the Lord sent him here with a message. I said, nope. We got a lot of churches in the parish, but you're not bringing a message here. I don't know you. I don't know you. And I mean, my antennas were, you know, a prophet. A legitimate New Testament prophet like Agabus. Agabus was a part of the church in Jerusalem. There was a church he was accountable to. There were people who knew him. That knew he was a man of integrity. They could send him to Antioch or wherever else he would go. But he was a part of a New Testament church. He didn't come in out the desert wearing camel hair robe and carrying a shepherd's staff and eating wild locust and honey and all that. You know, so a New Testament prophet is not a lone wolf renegade. So somebody comes in, they got on a camel hair garment and carrying a shepherd's staff. They're not speaking, at least not with pastoral permission. I don't care whether they claim to be a prophet or not. If they're not part of a church submitted to the leadership of a local church, they're not legitimate. There's a lot of renegades out there who think they're prophets and they want a place to speak, and they'll just walk in and announce they're a prophet or apostle and they want to speak. All right, 1 John 4:1, and I quit. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they be of God. For many false prophets are gone out into the world. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit. Can't believe everything you hear, even if they say, thus saith the Lord. You check it out with your Bible, and you bear witness with your Holy Spirit. You can discern. You know, sometimes you just, your antennas just go up. Your radar is sending an alarm. And you know you need to be sensitive to that, because the Lord's given you the Holy Spirit so you can discern. 2 John 1:7, for many deceivers are entered into the world. That's a fact. Well, we'll be in chapter 12 next week. Didn't get there tonight, but we'll be there next week. But look, that's good. It was a lot of good interaction and conversation, and I like it when we do that. I don't know if I clarified anything, but we did our best. Father, bless us tonight, I pray. Help us to be discerning in these last days. We do know, Lord, that the last days you said would be days of great deception. So help us, Lord, to be discerning. Help us, Lord, to be sensitive to your spirit, to know your voice, Lord, and to always follow our great shepherd. Lord, continue to use your people. Use one and all, Lord, as they continue to shine the light and reflect the love of Christ in a perishing world. Use us for your glory. Use us one and all, I pray. Help us always, Lord, to honor you, to glorify you, to exalt you, and never ourselves. Bless your people as we go. Touch one and all. Heal all of those we prayed for tonight and all those who are vexed physically tonight. Heal one and all, we pray. Provide the needs for all. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless your week. Friday.